So much for hanging out with us. Jason and I are just gonna kind of walk through. If you're in the wrong session, you know, it's okay. It won't hurt our feelings. Maybe you just showed up in here. But basically, we get the opportunity today to share basically how We Start Churches got started, and then what in the last 6 years we've seen God do, and then where we're going next. And you know, every one of you here have had an impact, both privately and publicly, on We Start Churches. I know your stories. We know your stories. We have been able to pray with each other and see what you're trying to do in your ministry and so many different ways. So we'll just jump right in here and kind of go the process. First of all, the question is, where do we come from? So, you know, obviously We Start Churches. We appreciate the plug, Dr. Stetzer, you know, with the name We Start Churches. Actually, it's a funny thing. When we started the name initiative, we were actually having a conversation, and we were on a speakerphone with a couple of us, and Jason was on the call, and we were coming up with this idea, this new initiative to try to help people really move to the forefront of starting new churches. And actually, Jason's son Hudson came up with, well, if you're trying to start churches, could you just call it We Start Churches? And we're like, no, you can't make. Well, maybe we could. Anyway, so we on a regular basis.
And he's here. If you want to say hi to the co-founder.
That's right. We call him co-founder.
Yeah.
But you know, the reality is, we were serving on a mission board and still serve, but back in 2014, actually, you could back further up and say 2012, on the Free Will Baptist Mission Board for Oklahoma. And we were just at a place where we wanted to basically reevaluate what had happened the previous 9 years, and not to be a critic of the previous 9 years, but just to evaluate where we were, what we've seen, and how can we learn from the past so we could be more effective in the future. And that came up with the idea of, you know, what if we kind of move starting churches to the forefront, and then try to basically take the resources that we have to bless as many people as possible. That was our whole start, you know. And we actually spent some time with Dr. Stetzer at a thing called Church Planner Leadership Forum. He was basically gathering national denominational leaders about church planting, and we aren't or weren't, you know, at all national denominational church planting leaders. But we heard about it. It was in Nashville. We heard that it was going to be the largest denominational wide. I think there was like 45 denominations represented, and so we basically just knocked on the door and said, can we come? And he said no. And then we knocked again and said, can we come? And he said maybe. And then we knocked again and he said, okay, you won't leave me alone, so you can come. And so that actually started the conversation of like, how can we just, we want to be faithful with the resources that we have to be more effective and to start more churches. And so over that time, that started kind of this opportunity that we had of starting churches in new places with more people and creating partnerships with other people, because honestly, we have a lot to learn. We had nothing other than some resources. I would say about the mission board during that time that we weren't resource rich, but I would say we had some resources, but we were leadership poor. And the meaning is we just didn't have, everybody on the team wasn't really on the team and weren't willing to really say, hey, we're all in on this. So the biggest move that we made, and we'll see this again a little bit later when Jason talks, is that basically we had this new found terminology of tithing our time to mission. And so we kind of had to look around the room and say, okay, everybody on this team, if we really want to go further faster, we've got to tithe our time to mission. And so basically, are you willing to spend 4, 5, 6 hours a week taking your time and giving it toward mission outside of your normal ministry? And so we had to kind of look around the room. And to be honest with you, there were two or three people who said, I'm just not in a season of life where I can do that. And so they moved on to different ministries. But for the rest of us, and that's really our beck and call with anybody who wants to help partner with us or serve in any type of capacity, we just say, are you willing to tithe your time to mission? If you are, we can talk. And if it's not a good season for that, then maybe there's another way that you could we could work with each other. So that started back in 2014 was the We Start Churches initiative. And we just started saying, okay, who are the people that we can help? Who are the people we can bless? For us, our mission board in the previous years that had done great work over decades really was more focused on, because we were in Oklahoma people planting churches. And then it became Oklahoma people planting in Oklahoma. Well, we all know there are a lot of churches in Oklahoma. We need more churches in Oklahoma. We need more healthy churches in Oklahoma. But we didn't want to just use our resources just for Oklahoma. We felt like we didn't want to just sit on a bunch of money because there were people planting it in Oklahoma. And so then we said, well, the board had always taken Oklahoma people and planted in other places. That's great. But we still have a mission to do. And when there's such a beck and call for us not to wait. We have an urgency about us. And so then it was like, okay, well, if we don't have enough planters or we don't have enough effective planting going on, then let's just partner with as many people as we can in many places that we can to begin to create some new momentum. And that's where we started. I remember this conference is actually fruit from having a conversation with Pastor Daniel Voss, and he had a heart to say, man, I just want to bless more pastors. I want to bless more leaders. And we had this heart to start more churches. And so as we were talking on the phone, he said, well, if I want to bless pastors and you guys want to start churches, is there any way we could get together? And we said, well, let's pray about that. Let's just see what happens. And so out of that conference, we started, you know, the very first year with 15 people. We invited, I think, 20, because these were people who just happened to randomly say to us, like, we feel like something's going on. We want to bless other people and we want to start more churches. And so out of that came this idea that maybe the conference could help continue to fuel more people to go further faster. So that was our heart for starting, you know, more churches. And you'll see, I remember after the first year, I didn't even know, like, Arizona, I didn't even know it very well. We came out here for the very first time. And I remember we were sitting in the conference. Some of you, I think everybody in this room knows Stephen Kimbrell. And Stephen said, well, can Myron Scott come next year? And I'm like, oh, Myron sounds great. Who's Myron? And he's like, well, Myron's down, just took over this church called Heritage, and he's replanting it, and it's called Compassion. I'm like, well, where's that? He's like, well, it's in Gilbert. I'm like, okay, where's Gilbert? And he's like, well, it's like 20 minutes away. And I'm like, dude, you've been at this conference all the last 2 days, and your best friend Myron was down the road, and you didn't even invite him? And of course, he was like, I wasn't in charge of the invites. You were. And I was like, oh, crud. You know? So there was just this, and I remember after the conference, 15 people, we drove down the road, and we spent time with Myron. We got to see that beautiful campus, got to hear his heart about replanting. And I remember weeping with him right there on his campus, begging the Lord to do a new and fresh work. And then saying, man, we've got to figure out how we can help each other and encourage each other. And by God's grace, that launched, you know, Compassion Church. And he was one of the first guys that we got to partner with in helping encourage him. So this is just some stats for those of you guys who are like real stat people, like where were we really at? Again, this doesn't mean that anything done before us was bad. It was just like, okay, let's honestly measure where we're at and then evaluate it. So here's where we were. The previous 9 years, our board had invested $970,000 into planting. So I'd say, number one, praise God that many leaders want to invest those kind of resources to reach more people. So we're really, really glad for that. We had launched about 6 churches. The average launch was about 100 people. They'd reached about 500 to 600 effectively in regular, you know, gatherings and attendance. There have been somewhere between 35 and 50 baptisms. There have been what we would say 3 plants successful, meaning they became self-propagating, healthy churches that paid for themselves, self-supporting. But 2 of them moved on to other places and weren't really connected to us anymore. And then one was still with us after these 9 years. And the financial return on investment, again, we don't measure anything by finances, but it is a metric. The money that was given back to the money we'd invested was $75,000. So again, that's just the metric we're at. You know, they had to take hard evaluation. You know, some of you guys know, and sometimes your family, you got to call a family huddle, and you got to evaluate hard things and where you're at, what's going on, what do you feel like. This is where we were at. And so that said, okay, maybe there's got to be some things done a little different. This is Larry Lacefield over at our church, Restoration Church in Granite City, Illinois. Larry had been led to Christ by Jason. Larry was, years before, Larry was off on his own. He had helped another church plant. He planted a church, no help, no resources, no friends. If you ever meet Larry, you know why? No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. And we said, hey, maybe we can partner with Larry. That was part of the process as well. Of course, they've had hundreds of people go public with their faith in Christ. So here's where we were on the evaluation. Number one, the amount of money we invested was not scalable. Like, eventually, if we continue to do what we were doing, we were going to run out of money. And that's bad news, right? Number two, the investment was massively high. And for us, what we see in the natural, and that's a lot of times the only thing we can, you know, always see and measure, the return was low. Number three, the assessment was not thorough. So we have a lot of leaders, and I want you to really hear this, if you would. We have a lot of leaders who love the gospel, love Jesus. They're very valuable. They're very gifted. But there's a difference between a planter and a pastor. And I'll just put myself on the table with that. You know, I don't know if I would be extremely effective in planting a church on my own as the lead planter. I really don't know that. I think hopefully by God's grace, maybe God's using me to pastor people, but I don't know if I should be the one in that chair in planting. There just is a difference. And so we had to begin to define that difference. And that was hard for us, because to say to someone, we think you're going to be a pastor, you're gifted to pastor, but you probably aren't a planter, is hard for some people to hear. You know, Oliver, you're a businessman and you've helped launch things. You know the difference between running a company that already exists and starting things from scratch, right? Those things can be moved over for sure in some of these categories. Number four, coaching relationships are minimal, and it's actually the secret sauce. We're high in relationships here, and we may not always have the most resources. We may not always have the best coaching, even though we think Jason leads our coaching. We think we do a decent job. But the reality is relationships, relationships, relationships. We are never going to send someone an email and say, what's the latest results from the last 6 months, and then have not heard from us in 6 months. Yeah. If we do that, we're dried up, we ought to move on. The actual, hey, you got a report, or you want to hear, tell us some results, or tell us some baptisms, should almost be like a natural, like it just comes up in conversation. So that's where we were. There's some hope alive in Tokyo. Number five, the need wasn't just for our state, but across the world. Number six, we need to pioneer change no matter the location. We've run into a lot of boundaries with a lot of people, even in our own circles, and we're not really interested in the boundaries. And if some people can't help us because of boundaries they've been put in, as far as when I'm talking about location or proximity, then that's okay. We're not mad at you. It's just that we're going to have to move forward to go beyond boundaries. Number seven, tied our time to mission was essential to change our situation. So that's where we were, and that's where we sat, and then that's when we launched We Start Churches, and that's where we started running. And so Jason's going to tell a little bit more of the current results.
So, you know, pioneering change, you hear that a lot. That's actually the mission of our organization, is that we start churches that pioneer change. And so we began to put together, one of the things that came out of the initiative was, right now the process, or back then the process was, you know, meet before a board, we love you, you know, it's great, maybe have an hour-long interview, maybe not even that long, call some references, we pray over you, and that's it, and it sends you out. And so that was the process. That was kind of it. You know, maybe a few phone calls or you know, maybe some private meetings, but nothing beyond that. And so we decided that we were going to put together a process of planting, and we didn't come up with this on our own. With Ed Stetzer and some other organizations, Converge and some other groups, he spoke about boundaries. We don't have boundaries. And so we're just learning from everybody and, you know, I don't want to say stealing, but we are, and getting what we can to learn and seeing what works, what doesn't work for us, and just moving on with what works and then constantly evaluating. So this was the actual funnel that we came up with 6 years ago that we still have in place now. Some of it's been, you know, inside of those, if you were to branch out some other things in there and some other partnerships that's helped us along the way. But this is kind of our process of planting. Number one is initial contact. So if you say, you come to us and you say, hey, Jason, Casey, or We Start Churches, whoever, I got a guy, or I am the guy, then we say, awesome, let's get your information, let's talk to you. And no matter what happens from there, we love on that person. We even send them stuff through the mail. We have a Pioneering Change box that we'll send out, just saying we love them. Casey, I don't know if you guys get 100 texts from Casey a day like I do, but most of us do. And this guy, he's always just relational, connecting, and that's one of his job, in his job description on the board, is to send 100 texts a day. But we have that initial contact. And then we do a risk factor assessment. And this is online, and this is just for them to do. It evaluates things like, you know, do you have a team going with you? Where is your location? Is it near where you live? Most people who plant really fast and successful plant within an hour and a half of where they grew up at. There's a few of us that God calls to do what's called parachute church planting, which is what I did. It's not recommended, but somebody has to do it. Stephen Kimbrell, Amos Dillard, those guys. other people, Heath Hubbard, you know, parachuting in, not knowing anybody. Those guys did it way the right way because they had people go with them. I was stupid, and I just thought I could just charge hell with a squirt gun and went out to Yuma where it's hotter than you know what. So we do the risk factor assessment, and I probably would have failed that back then. You know, I'd have been like, oh, man, I got a lot of risks, and I did. But we discussed that with the planter, you know, financially, relationships, giftings, all that kind of stuff. Then there's an application and resume form. And this thing is like 12 pages long. And I got to be honest with you, a lot of guys stop right here. And they're just, they don't fill it out or they don't follow through. And that's fine. Again, we still love on them. We still invite them out to the Pioneering Change Conference. We resource them in any way that we can. But to go through the full process, you know, you got to, you know, you go through the steps. And because it is important. Then if they get past that, we go through a phone interview and a theological grid to make sure we match up with some of our theological distinctives. And then there's a project proposal. You know, where are you going? What's it look like? Do you have people going with you? What's the resources you've already raised? Do you have any funding? You know, have you done any research on the place you're going? Because some people will be like, you know, I'm going to Yuma like I did. And, oh, you ever been there? No, I've never been there, but God's calling me there. That was me. And, oh, what's it about? You know, oh, well, you know, this, you know, you got to know where you're going. And then next one's a face-to-face interview with planner spouse. This is very important. This is awesome because sometimes the guys will come to us and they're just full of vision. I call it drunk with vision. And they're just like, we're going to go and God's going to do this. And then we get their wives on a Zoom call. And the wives, sometimes you can be like, I'm married to this guy and he's drunk right now. Like, could you guys sober him up? Because he needs some reality. He needs a shot of reality. Or it's, yes, we're on board and we've been praying and fasting and it's together. So this is very, very important. Which sometimes gets missed, I think, a lot of times. And then this is one of our key points that some organizations don't do. It's called an assessment. And some organizations will tell you they do an assessment. But here's the thing about an assessment. If you never say no to anybody, you never have an assessment. You've got to be able to say no to some people. And so if everybody passes assessment, then the assessment that you have, then is it really an assessment? And so we do a 4-day, and we partner with Converge Worldwide to do this. And they have been doing it for, what, 20 years or so? Like, you know, they've got it down to a process, and it's a 4-day thing, and it's just amazing. I've actually been through this process. I went through it after the fact, and it was hard even, and we had people coming and, you know, had a building and all that kind of stuff, and I went through after the fact, and I was, like, blown away and saw, me and my wife looked back at that moment, and we're like, we learned so much about ourselves that we wish we would have known. Like 4 years before that, where we weren't assessed, where we didn't have the questions asked, and we didn't, and this taught us so much, and it caught us up to who we were, and we learned a lot through that. And then the expectation. After that, they get one of three results. They get a full recommend, which means you're ready to go now. They get a recommend it with conditions. That's the second result you could get. And the conditions could be something like, you need to wait about 9 months. Or you need to wait 18 months, or you need to go and get marriage counseling because there's actually a counselor that you meet with your spouse, and they find things out. Some guys, stuff like, you know, financial things. Like, you have a real, real weird view, and really not a biblical view of money and stewardship, and your wife is over here starving, and you're over here trying to go out with and make less money and not support your family. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that comes out from there. Leadership, like Casey said, maybe you're a pastor and not a planter. And that's a key one. Then the last one's a not recommend. So you can get not recommended. And that's a heart-to-heart conversation, a loving conversation. You all know that one of the most loving ways to love somebody is to tell them the truth, right? And so that's what we do so that we don't have years of heartache and family turmoil and kids that don't love Jesus because they hate it. That they moved away from their family and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, he could go on, and their dad was always mad and frustrated because the church never got off the ground. So we try to get, you know, through all of that. So those are the three things. And then expectation interview at the end of that, if they get a conditional recommend or a full recommend, we then go before our team again, and we say, so if it's a condition, that condition may be like, okay, this is too much of a condition to plant them now. So we're going to hold off. Or maybe it's a condition where in the next 6 months you can meet those conditions and we're going to plant you in the next 6 months. And then if it's a full recommend, then it's automatic go. And that's when then they sign what's called a memorandum of understanding with a financial, or excuse me, a final mission board approval, which we offer $75,000 in startup costs that is distributed through a coach. They're planted with the coaching. Then we've got plant and coaching for the next 18 months, which is our secret sauce. If you ask any of our guys, you'd be like, man, it must have been great to get $75,000. They're like, no, what was great was that I was in a band of brothers that cared about me. And that, like Casey said, that we even celebrate even on text threads now almost weekly. Hey, praise God, Larry, 30 people got baptized last week at your church. You know, that's awesome. Somebody say, you know, somebody give them a shower or something, you know. And so that's kind of, and so this is a 6 to 9 month time frame, okay? So we'll have some Q&A at the end, if I can hurry through here. So then the last 6 years since we started church, since we did We Start Churches initiative and launched it, what he went through with the money invested, now let's look at it. And again, money's not everything, but it is a metric that we use, obviously, to use it in your church. If you don't think money's a metric, then quit counting your offerings. Right. So money invested, $610,000. What's the $300,000? I forgot what that was.
That was money we just had gone out.
Okay, and money gone out. And then plants launched, we had 12 in the last 6 years, which is, we praise the Lord for that, three in progress. Average launch now on launch day is 245 people. People reached is 1,665. Successful so far. This is self-propagating, self-sufficient, and reproducing churches. Plants are 9. Plants with us, 9. The financial return on investment, $165,000. And so you can kind of see the difference in what this makes right now. And let's look at that then versus now. 972 to 610, money returned. 75 to 165. Launch 100 to 285, baptisms 50, and now over 700 in the last 6 years, baptisms. Plants successful, 3 versus 11. There's an asterisk here because we've got some in the process. People reached 600 to 1,910, and then we got some partners. North American Missions, 6, IM, we partnered 1, and then on our own completely, that have come to us through our process, we have 4 of those, okay? So... let's talk about some of that. So this is, he was just on stage, Chris Davenport. This is a great example of how we partnered with another organization, another church, Donaldson Fellowship. And, you know, Tommy came to us with this opportunity that they've been given, and Chris, and went through our entire process, and also partnered with NAM as well. So all three of us together were able to launch him. And Chris... on the first, he had his launch day, if I remember correctly, and then COVID shut everything down, right? But then through that, he was able to go online, and this guy, like, people were coming to Christ online, and you see how he is on stage, like, that's how he is everywhere. And so he's, you know, winning people to Jesus, and brought, like, I don't know how many people this time, this year, and God's just really moving through him and doing a great work. And this is just one example of that partnership. Because we don't want you to think, some people think when we say, like Ed Stetcher, he's like, we need to plant churches at plant churches at plant churches. And me as a pastor, I'm like, how do I do that? I'm just me. What do I do? Well, there's not just you. There's you. There's your church. There's maybe somebody in your church who might want to go with somebody. Yeah. There's also an association that you're in. There's also maybe a church that is in another state. There's also We Start Churches. There's also, the Donaldson Fellowship we'll talk about with their church planning residency. There's just all kinds of things. Peace Church, we'll talk about that in a minute. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. So, coaching invested $150,000 to $200,000 back to the planters. And then we've moved from 5 people that were tithing their time to mission. Now we have 40 people on our team. So when we say our team, I guess our lead team is our board, right? And there's a few of us, but then there's others. And this is where you can get involved, by the way, tithing your time to mission. And this is, I'll just be real honest with you guys. Like, I have reorganized a lot of my schedule in the last 6 years to, and my church is okay with this because we love church planting and we were church plant and all that, where I spend a lot of my time doing We Start Churches stuff. And I'm sure Casey as well. And that's just in our DNA, and that's what we have to do. All partnerships. Okay, Mission Board, that's Oklahoma. NAM, IM, Golden Gate Association up in California is partnering with us now. Stadia, we actually provide a project manager for free through Stadia that walks the planter through over 400 action steps to plant a church. This is gold right here. When I started 15 years ago, Stadia, I reached out to them. And they were doing the same thing. And I was like, how much does it cost? And they were like, oh, it's going to cost you $20,000. You know, okay. Anyway, thank you. I don't have that. And now they're doing it for free through organizations, which is amazing. And the planters are walking each week through, even in cohorts with other planters outside of our organization, through 400 steps to launch a church in a major way. It's just amazing. So that's like a $20,000 investment for each planter. That's amazing. Converge, again. And then Mountain View Church, as you see with our conference, they've been doing this for the last 6 years. And Pioneering Change Conference, over the last 6 years, we've had over 500 different leaders come through this conference. And we're looking to continue to expand that as well. This is exciting news here. This is our first granddaughter church as an organization. So we partnered with Stephen Kimbrell and launched Grace City Church. And then through them, they're launching out Amos and Chula Vista for City Lights Church. But not just them, Peace Church. And they've got about 10 people in your church that are moving across the country to be on his team, Amos's team. And it's amazing, like, what God's doing. And my point is this, through all of this, is that all of us can be involved in planting churches that plant churches that plant churches. We don't have to say, oh, that's for them, or that's for the larger church. And now, when I get a certain size, then I can do that. Or when I have this much money, then I can do that. No, it's all of us can be involved. And so this is our first granddaughter church as an organization, so we're pretty excited about that. And, of course, Chula Vista is where he's going, which is about, 2.5 hours from me, Yuma. They're on the border a little bit there as well of Mexico, so it's pretty exciting. Irvine, California, with Stephen Kimbrell. These are just some of the churches we've planted over the years. Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Bishop Capdeville, some of you know him. And Gilbert, Arizona, Myron, it was a replant right up the road here, Myron Scott, with Compassion Church. Great guy, and God's just really working through him there as well, reaching people for Jesus. Granite City, Illinois, our church, Larry Lacefield. Again, he was kind of on an island all by himself. He was one of those guys that said, God's calling me to plant a church. I ain't got no money. I ain't got no people. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And he went out there, and then about, 2 years into it maybe, he's like, I need help. And we're like, hey, we're here. So, you know, it was awesome. So Florence, Arizona, which is a plant actually out of Mountain View Church, Joey Bilbrey, right down the road here in Florence, planting a great church there. They broke ground on a new building just a few weeks ago. Pretty excited about that. And then around the world, Tokyo, Japan, pretty exciting with Heath Hubbard, our first international missions partnership that we're doing right now. Media, Pennsylvania, this is Tom Harkness, who has still not launched a public service. He was about to launch, COVID hit, shut the schools down, can't get into a school. Still, even today in Pennsylvania, in Media, he can't. And through that, though, he's like, what am I going to do? Well, he was having these like little small group gatherings and some online stuff. And one of the people on his team, a couple, was a Pakistani couple. And got to talking to them, and they became real close. And opened up a door where the Pakistani couple's like, hey, we came from Pakistan, and we were pastors over there, and we've got some other guys over there that are looking to be trained and raised up as leaders. And since probably October or September of last year, he has started East Coast Ministries International, and 30 to 40, maybe 50 churches have been planted in that part of the world through him, through that ministry. Resourcing, and it's just, he's written these courses where he does Zoom with them. It's amazing. I can't even explain it all, what God's doing. Fredericksburg, Virginia, again, with Chris Davenport. We just talked about him. Randall Wright here in Princeton, Texas, another plant. Not here, but Texas. Burlington, Dan Houghton. This is one that's not launched yet, in progress, getting coaching, going through Stadia, all that kind of stuff. We've got a brand new one. This is super new. Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Josh Lee. He's here this week as well. And we're excited about that, just across the border there. That's pretty close to Oklahoma, isn't it? Right there? Okay. I'm geographically challenged. So. And then Marlow, Oklahoma. This is awesome. In the state of where We Start Churches originated, this is huge. James Mitchell. I'm coaching him along with Stadia, getting a launch team together. So thanks to your generosity. Through partnerships, we gave a $500 gift to 100 churches during the pandemic to encourage them to pioneer change in new ways. Again, We Start Churches to pioneer change. This was just a $500 just a gift to say, we know things are different right now. Maybe you need a camera. Maybe you need to upgrade some system. I don't know what you can do with this, but do something, you know. And so we were able to do that to 100 churches because of your partnership. 600 plus baptisms through new church plants over the last 6 years.
Went 700 since the graphic, so.
Oh, yeah. Way to go, Casey. Just kidding. Thanks to your generosity, sponsored new plant church planters in India and Ivory Coast. We have a part of our We Start Churches organization called Reaching the Unreached. And so this is that part of that. That is doing a great job there. And provided over $100,000 worth of coaching for free. When the pandemic did start and hit, we were able to do some coaching through Zoom. And we had, you know, the stuff that we did, it was worth over $100,000. I mean, really, just giving it for free out to pastors who are in need of all of that. Okay? So, what do we provide for a planter? All right, is this your part?
Sure.
Okay, I can't remember.
All right, great. So, just another quick rundown of how We Start Churches helps. The church planting resources is what we try to put in, you know, people's hands, and then when someone goes through our process, we give them even more resources. In-depth assessment, we pay for them if they're married to their spouse, and team, some of their team to go to the assessment with Converge that Jason mentioned. Fundraising training, we pay for that out of our partnership with Tailored Fundraising. Which allows them to get training on how to communicate their vision and how to talk to people about being supporters. The planting training we mentioned is free. That's about a $25,000 value. Conferences, one of the things we do here at the Pioneer Change Conference is every person who's gone through our process, we pay for them to come to this conference. So, you know, travel, hotel, food, all of that. Then the ministry launch dollars is $75,000. And, of course, the network of planters is priceless. So, here's what we're praying for next on this weekend. You know, thank you for praying. Thank you for being here. We're praying that at least five people this week would begin to sense God's call in their life to be a planter. Maybe they've been praying about it for a long time, but this week's going to be the nudge they need to maybe speak to someone about that, talk about that. 20 new church partnerships. That's, you know, obviously the fuel behind us being able to go further, faster. And then we're praying for 25 new individual donors as well. What's next? Private conference sponsorships. You know, no one asked for this, but I'm just going to give you guys a bunch of shout outs right here because all the stories that are connected in here. You know, Ron Hunter, I think probably everybody in this room knows Ron Hunter, and I appreciate the V6 conference, appreciate Randall House. They've been early encouragers, prayer partners, supporters, behind the scenes, cheering us on, pointing people our direction. You know, Ron will never tell me all the people that he points in our direction, but then I hear that they've been pointed by Ron, so I'm really grateful for him. Obviously, you heard about TDF, Donaldson Fellowship in Nashville, and what Aaron and Tommy are doing with their church planting residency. If you haven't asked or you haven't heard about it, they just launched a couple days ago. Make sure to ask them about it. It's very, very encouraging. You know, Dr. Russell back here with Peace Church, he's been an encourager before he even came to the conference. He was encouraging about the conference, got to come to the conference, and just really been thankful for him. Jason mentioned Peace Church partnership and how they're connecting with Amos and sending people. I mean, sending people from basically one side of the United States to the other side of the United States, catching a vision, not being tight-fisted with his people, but, you know, open hands, sending people. That is so hard to do. But once you start doing it, it's so encouraging and inspiring, and I appreciate Dr. Russell, you know, doing that. I mean, Oliver, for those of you who, I think everybody maybe knows Oliver Lopez over here, right? Oliver runs an encouragement foundation or trust, can I call it that? But it's another way. I mean, he doesn't have to do that, and yet above and beyond, he encourages people, sends missionaries, church planters, pastors, encouragement gifts, and sends them places, and maybe I was supposed to advertise that, maybe I wasn't, but I just told everybody, Oliver, so there you go. So if you want to get behind him and partner with Dr. Harrison, you've been super encouraging up in California. You know, you called us years ago and said, hey, man, come on, come over here. Let's partner together. Let's pray about what we can do and open up a lot of doors for us. And a lot of people don't do that. And you've been really, really kind to us. And so I'm really grateful for that. And that opened up, you know, our friendship with Patrick Ziegler over the Golden Gate Association and that's how I met a lot of you guys. And so it's all about us helping each other, right? Whatever we have in our hand and then offering to encourage and bless others. So we've got these private, you know, conference sponsorships. We've got people like Peace Church behind the scenes of, like, the main event meal that's happening tomorrow night. They didn't ask for that, but that's what they're doing. And it's a big deal. Possible planting coaches. If you're here and you want to maybe talk about being a possible coach, you know, sometimes there might be room to bring on more coaches. I'm a coach, but I'm an assistant coach. Because the reality is I've never sat in that chair as a lead planter. And so I don't want to be necessarily the head coach. I'm with the planters. But I can be an assistant coach. I can pray for people. I can encourage people. I think I can speak to maybe the leader's heart, a family's heart, what it's like in ministry, some of the challenges. And so, but I love that assistant coach role, and it's been a real help. So, but every planter gets basically a head coach and some assistant coaches. Long-term farming partnerships. Maybe it's not you that can help us at a certain time, but maybe you know someone. Maybe you have a group, a network, an association, a few churches, something that you can be the gatekeeper to open up the door for us to talk to. And maybe you pray about that. That would be a great opportunity. Of course, legacy churches, we have people that we're talking to right now that maybe their church is not going to make it into the future, but they want their impact to make it into the future. And so they're introducing us to people in which we can have the conversation about helping them replant more gospel ministry across the world. So if you have any of that, that's great. But we'd love to talk to you about it. Any questions or things? Because you guys have things to add. You want to maybe say something that you've seen in your church about disciple making and church planting. We can just all learn together in the next few minutes. And by the way, while we're doing that, let me update you with the recent time shift. Lunch is going to start at 12:15, just so you'll know. And then Dr. Stetzer's session will be at 1:45. And then breakout and prayer and all that. So just so you know, it's kind of shifting a little bit. Any thoughts on any of that or feedback? Love to have just open it here to have the conversation.
Yeah, I just want to say thanks for stepping up when COVID hit. We're one of the beneficiaries of the grant, and it was even better than the grant was the Zoom calls and the information. That was huge. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Pastor, for mentioning that. Thanks, appreciate it.
Yeah, if I could just tag on to him, that's Pastor James Taylor. Okay. They are they're doing a selling of the property and a replant. And how long has the property been on the market? 2 months now, Pastor?
Oh no, it's been probably 4 or 5 months.
Yeah, so we're in a lull right now. The commercial market is difficult right now in Southern California. So if anything, if I could just rally everyone, if you remember Sweet Baby James Taylor, pray for James Taylor.
There we go.
Because the forces of evil and the forces of old critical California Free Will Baptist DNA are rising up against us in this effort. We just really need to pray that we can get a win here. And I appreciate so much about this church here, because even on their webpage, they want people to win.
Yes.
And for me, growing up in Free Will Baptist, I was never around anyone who wanted me to win. I hate to say that. Mm-hmm. Even other pastors, it seemed like they were hoping, kind of, you know, wanting other pastors to fail. Mm-hmm. That must change, because we won't have Free Will Baptists in California if it doesn't change. Mm-hmm. And so pray for this man. Mm-hmm. This is a mighty, monumental leap of faith to sell a church that has bad mojo. Mm-hmm. And start fresh. Mm-hmm. He just really needs your prayers.
Yeah. Well, we'll pray over that before we leave. Thank you for sharing that.
If I can,
can we all call you Sweet Baby James? Is that
call me whatever you want.
Okay.
First, can I add something more?
Yes, yeah. Pastor. Yes, please.
He's gonna need a Hispanic pastor.
That's right.
And yeah. So not only just somebody that speaks Spanish,
yeah.
Or preaching Spanish, yeah. But a partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we're praying for that partner that is gonna be able to work with him, but they're gonna be sharing the same vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we're helping find that partner, and he's going to really need that. We ask for your prayers,
yeah.
That we will find that partner that is going to be able to work with him.
Uh-huh.
And in the future, many of the churches that are being planted in the country and outside the country, they're going to need that.
True.
And a Spanish pastor, not to be just friends, but be partners,
yeah.
To have a good relationship so that work can prosper. We just want to, in California, we just want to serve as a bridge to sure. get to know people, a church in Utah with a pastor, I don't know, mm-hmm. from Panama, from Mexico, that sure. we can bring, that we can make that connection with them, yeah. or California, you know. And so we will able to not only plant churches in California, Hispanic churches, or bilingual churches, mm-hmm. but everywhere. Especially in Free Will Baptist. So that. we just want to be there and try to make that connection. But right now with in the Lord work with Pastor James, and eventually with Amos in Chula Vista. Yeah, it's another one too.
Yeah, the dynamics in LA Basin are so different. You know, you've got Irvine and Orange County, which has a totally different flavor. A little bit yeah. more affluent, a little bit more. You know, culturally sensitive in the sense that there's a lot of Iranians and different more affluent groups, and so that's Irvine, and that's, you know, that's worth going. In the LA Basin, in LA County, where I'm really focused, because if you think about it, we have no churches in LA County except for Norwalk, and we're almost dead, right? So we don't rebirth. We won't have a church in LA County. And we're talking about 9.5 million people. There's more people in LA County than there is in most states, and we'll have no churches. And when you think about it, 73% speak Spanish.
17 million in California speak Spanish.
Yeah, so you know, we have to look at the long picture, the long haul, because you think about it, if you can get the Spanish speakers this generation, then you get the Spanish-English speakers this generation, and the third generation is all English speakers, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of playing the long ball, mm-hmm. right? It's the long game. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to be strategic. We can't just be tactical or reactive anymore. We have to be focused and deliberate.
That's great. Love that. Thanks for sharing that. That's true. Anything else? Yeah, maybe we could even, I know Donaldson Fellowship's working on some of those things. Maybe there could be a partnership there too as well on some of those subjects. Mm-hmm. Dr. Russell, how have people been responding? You're in the middle of what we're all in the middle of with the challenges we faced in the past 12 to 15 months. And then the reality is you're not keeping people for yourself, you're sending them out. How are people responding to that, and what's been the feedback, and what's been even some of the challenges?
Well, I think it's been really positive. I think it really gave us sort of a momentum boost that we needed. That made people really start saying there is something really happening here, you know, after all that we've been through. So that's been a real positive thing. Our big thing now is, you know, when we ask the question of giving, and it's not like we're in dire trouble or anything, but we just haven't been hitting what we hit before financially. And so we've got to really focus on, like Ed said, getting people back. We've got about 60% of our people coming, but about 40% of our people aren't there.
Well, what a faith challenge. Like, you know, when you see whatever, everybody has a different situation, but whether it's 20% in person or 40% in person or 60%, which is, you know, probably a rare thing, 60% in person. And if it is, then praise God for that. The reality of that, here you're in the middle of all that tension, and then you're going, not only trying to get people back, we're trying to send people away. And that's an incredible, encouraging step of faith. You're not going to make a big deal of it, so I'm going to keep making a big deal of this breakout, because that's the reality of the types of churches that we need to be. And that's our hope and prayer, right? So would it be just like the Lord to press into Peace Church to send more people away when you feel like it's the greatest need you have to keep people? Right, so what an opportunity your church has to be really seeing obedience, you know, by faith, because you're sending people out, key people that are serving and have energy, talents, and gifts, and you're going to send them across the entire country at the same time, hoping that eventually some more people show back up. Right.
Yeah.
So what a beautiful thing to get to press into obedience like that. Yeah.
They will.
Yeah,
sure.
They will.
Agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
That's great.
I just want to say something back to coaching. You know, like Casey mentioned, like he's never planted, never sat in that seat. And we have, you know, we have places for assistant coaches and things like that. But also, in different areas in your church, if you have staff members and things that are, you know, on the creative team, media or social media or worship or youth or kids. Kids is a big need a lot of times because these guys go out and they have a person on their team that's their kids director. You know, that term's used lightly because they've had no training, nothing. But you got a kids director that is rocking and rolling and could speak into that. Even though they never planted a church, they could still speak into some systems and some, you know, simple things like, yeah, we run background checks on all of our volunteers. Oh, where do you do that at? And how do you do that? And how much does that cost? And how often do you do it? And blah, blah, blah. You know, there's just all kinds of questions. And what do you use for check-in? What do you use for your church database? Blah, blah, blah. You know, all this kind of stuff that you could still help church planting out, even though even people in your staff or lay people who are leading your ministries could help those people out. So if you have those opportunities, there is room for that, because I get the questions all the time. Of course, I'm always like, well, just talk to any of our people or Casey or Tommy, you know, but I could go out even further, you know. So just keep that in mind whenever God is moving on your heart, that it's not just one avenue, but it's many lanes that we're driving in right now that leads to churches planting churches that plant churches and pioneer change. I gotta say that.
That's good.
Hashtag.
That's good. Well, we'll go ahead and conclude here. Tommy, why don't you, you've heard a lot of these, you know, the needs and the challenges. Would you mind just praying over all these things?
Father, we come to you as needy people, as people who are dependent upon you, and we're so grateful, we're worshipful, Lord, because of all that you're doing. Some things that we can identify, some things that we see on the screen today, so much that you're doing through Restart Churches and all these other partnerships. Father, thank you for allowing us to come together at this conference, to be able to hear and to learn, and especially, God, to build new friendships under the Lordship of Jesus. That's where the meat of it is. And so I'm just grateful. I'm just thanking you, Lord, for each one of these leaders in this room and the congregations that they represent, the people who matter, the people who are hungry, the people who maybe don't even know Christ yet, but that they're being influenced by these churches. Lord, we just ask your blessing on your ministry. Lord, we're just praying for more people to go into the harvest and to do work. And we're praying specifically, Lord, for these works in California. Lord, that burdens our hearts today, God, and you care about these people there who are without a church, they're without a family, they're without the gospel. They don't know all that Jesus has done for them and is currently doing for them. And so we pray for the Hispanic ministries there. Lord, help our churches in other locations to just come alongside them and to submit ourselves and to be great friends together and partners in that. Lord, we pray for Amos, and we pray for Pastor James and all that you're doing in these places. Lord, we care, and you care. So do what only you can do, Lord, and help us to get behind that. Help us to really support that. Father, we pray over these 5 new planters even this week. God, we want that. We really are praying for people to say yes to you and yes to planting and replanting. Help grow our partnerships. Help do all these things, Lord, so that you can be glorified in more places on this planet. More people can come and know Jesus and find just a beautiful fulfillment and a walk with you. And Lord, thank you for Casey and Jason and their ministry and leadership today, their investment in us. We're very grateful. So in the name of Jesus, we pray for all these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the session. I appreciate it.
Yep.